Welcome to another edition of Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. How you doing, Dr. Mitch?
Oh, having a great day.
Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful summer day out here in Portland, Oregon. We're getting triple-digit temperatures. I want to remind everyone what my friends at SSDP say, hydrate or dehydrate. Very important to stay hydrated in these hot summer months. You've heard that from them, haven't you, Dr. Mitch?
Indeed. I have to admit I have.
All right. So in our studies, I want to start off with a couple of studies that I've reported on here on the show that were concerning, and they seem to be somewhat contradictory. There's one coming out from this insurance institute that says the legalized states, the states with legal marijuana, had an increase in their car crash claims, the insurance claims, compared to the states around them. And then there's another study, and Paul Armentano put this on the Normal blog about a study showing no difference in car crash fatality risk in legalized states versus control states. So are these two studies contradicting each other, or is one just bunk?
I'm always a little suspicious of the insurance company's opportunities to claim really anything, but I do want to emphasize that these are really two different dependent measures. So the idea that maybe some minor fender benders increased in some of those states could have arisen from a whole lot of different reasons. The key issue is the other data set that Paul was emphasizing, and that's that when it comes to fatal crashes, we're clearly not seeing any difference at all. And so there's certainly nothing to worry about there. Now, are these modest increases in fender bender type crashes necessarily linked to cannabis? That's actually not the level of analysis of the data. They're just saying in these states. When you start thinking about what do those states have in common other than legalized cannabis relative to the neighboring states that were used as comparison groups, I hate to say it, but odds are high there's a lot more driving. And so, you know, you think about those West Coast states, those are often very beautiful places, places where people want to go on a nice long drive. The more miles you put in, the more chance you have of these kinds of things. So I'd like to see them do a better job of controlling for miles driven before they start blaming all this on a plant.
You know, I know in Seattle and Portland, the traffic has increased a great deal in the 10 or so years that I've been out here. I would think that would have something to do with increasing the fender benders compared to, say, Idaho or Wyoming.
Exactly. You're thinking just like you should on this.
All right, good. Well, let's get to these other studies that are a little more complex, and I'm really looking forward to your point of view on this. This first study that concluded that THC acutely interferes with encoding of verbal memory without interfering with retrieval, suggesting that learning information prior to the use of cannabis or cannabinoids is not likely to disrupt recall of that information. So study first, then get high. Is that what this study is telling us?
It's pretty much that simple, too. So the stuff you've already encoded, no matter how high you get, that's not going to get washed away. But to get high and then try to learn something is going to be a real uphill battle, in part because the hippocampus is, in a sense, turned off. This is one of the advantages for cannabis use in PTSD, to tell the truth. And so the chance that you're going to forget your first grade teacher's name, if you already know it, no matter how high you get, is super unlikely. Or the stuff you've already learned. But if you're trying to memorize something new right after a big bong hit, it's going to be tough.
Mm-hmm. All right. There's a trio of studies now that seemingly back up some stereotypes that our opposition likes to throw at us. This first one says current and past marijuana users were less likely to report recreational moderate physical activity than people who have never consumed cannabis, saying, you know, implying here that stoners are sitting on the couch rather than getting out and being active. Yet haven't we seen studies that showed us to have a lower BMI? I don't understand how to reconcile those.
Exactly. And in fact, that those BMI data have replicated in three very large, very disparate data sets now. So clearly, if stoners are less likely to endorse this moderate physical activity, I think it may be in part because of a bigger candor on just being willing to say, yeah, you're right. I don't want to blow my buzz simply because I lied on some silly survey. But also, you'll notice that they're only showing up in the modest. So the other categories of physical activity, it's not clear exactly how they've broken it down. And then we're talking about maybe a 5 percentage point difference. So if the sample hadn't been so big, this probably wouldn't have been statistically significant. But that said, a lesson to us all to get on the exercise bike first thing in the morning, go for a walk any chance you get. You don't have to pick the closest parking space, et cetera. And then let's all stay healthy and live a long time and smoke a lot of bowls.
I wonder how they control the survey population. You know, I would think that if you're looking at current marijuana users, you might be skewing more patients and people who don't have the ability or reduced ability to get out and enjoy moderate physical exercise. Is that possible?
Absolutely. Much like the finding Tom Denson and I had with the cannabis and depression, once you take the folks who have serious illnesses out, the effects really do disappear. And I couldn't actually get the whole publication here. I only could get the abstract, but I would love to see if they really took a look at that. That's good thinking.
Okay. This next one, a review concludes there is now convincing evidence that heavy use of cannabis increases risk of psychotic symptoms and schizophrenia-like psychoses. Convincing evidence sounds pretty strong, Dr. Mitch.
Well, you see D'Souza's on this, and it's in fact a rehashing of the exact same stuff we've heard 100 times before. So we do have evidence that THC by itself in the lab will make you have psychotic-like thoughts, and they just hammer the hell out of that finding, repeating over and over again some of the type 1 errors that haven't replicated, some of the oddball high-risk studies where, yes, if you happen to have a double genetic risk and you use cannabis heavily before age 15, you know, it's like the point that they want to make. Truth be said, yeah, if you've got a schizophrenic identical twin, the plant is not for you, but let's not throw people in jail over this one.
All right. And another study now, the authors of a case study suggest that increasing concentrations of THC, as well as THC to CBD ratios, seen in the cannabis concentrates, such as dabs, may cause agitation and end organ damage through sympathomimetic and serotonergic pathways. And I think I should get credit for being able to say that, Dr. Mitch.
I totally tip my hat to you, man, and good job on the serotonergic pathways. That's no easy feat at this hour of the day. The clincher here is that it is a single case. And if I, you know, tried to publish something that said dabs made you fly and had a single case, I would have a really hard time. But what we do already know is, yes, dabs get you super duper high, and that may account for some of this. The end organ damage, unfortunately, I think is really a coincidence that happened to be something this person was developing already who happened to do dabs. And if you think about sort of the base rate of dab use and end organ damage, we should get this many by chance. In fact, we would have more cases than this simply by chance. So I don't want to make too much of a single case when it supports us. I certainly don't want to make too much of a single case when it goes against us.
Okay. And this next one was quite interesting because I can't imagine why there'd be any connection, but it says a study found that cannabis users exhibited increased asymmetry at the hip during walking gait and reduced shoulder flexion during walking gait. I can't help but think of the keep on trucking old poster from the 70s with a way laid back freak brother.
The guy throwing his leg way forward as he leaned way back. Yeah, I could only get the abstract on this one, too. And the emphasis is consistently that these are not clinically identifiable. These are really small effects they found in a really large sample. And in truth, the number of places they would have had to look in order to find these, you can imagine what specific location for strangeness and heat. Now, it's not completely insane because you do see this in binge drinkers. They start to walk with their feet wider, like sort of Yosemite Sam, I'm not going to fall down kind of thing. And yeah, Perhaps some stoners have compensated in those directions, and that might explain that thing. But again, we're talking about a very small effect that really needs to replicate.
I just like to think that we're really laid back, man. I think that's a much better thing. All right. Well, Dr. Mitch is the host of the Burning Issues podcast. It's on cannabisradio.com. And can you give us a preview of what you've got coming up on some episodes?
Eric Altieri of Normal is going to give us a lowdown that should be up right now. And it's delightful to just hear how he's taken over things and the directions we're headed in and just what a competent leader he is for Normal.
Well, fantastic news. Well, thank you, Dr. Mitch, for joining us here on our Cannabis Q&A segment. We want to remind people that you can get your question answered on the segment privately, if you like, or right on the show by sending an email to 420research@gmail.com, 420research@gmail.com. Any events that we need to let people know about coming up, Dr. Mitch?
It's kind of a wild time in the summer, so there are a lot of cannabis industry events, but nothing that I think is really moving for your average activist, but I'll keep folks posted.
Yeah, not till September. I have on my calendar here the Normal Conference in Washington, D.C. Is that still a go for the 10th?
Yes, and that's going to be a delightful visit to Congress and just a good coaching for how to talk to your congressional reps. By all means, start writing them now so that you can have an appointment when the time comes.
Yeah, look that up on normal.org for us, folks. The last time I went to one of these, I recorded a sitting congressman bragging about using medical cannabis illegally under state and federal law. So it's definitely worth the trip. Thank you, Dr. Mitch, for joining us again, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Take care. Bye now.